Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Scottsville, Michigan, and earned a BS in education from the University of Michigan while playing football for Bo Schembechler. For the last 51 years, he's been a college assistant football coach at 9 different colleges, and from 2008 to 2020, he was defensive coordinator at Northwestern University. He won 400 games and 11 conference championships. Known as the Doctor of Fundamentals, his name, Coach Mike Hankwitz. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're with an amazing, great American, Coach Mike Hankwitz. For the last 51 years, he's been a teacher of young men as an assistant college football coach. Coach, welcome. An honor to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be on your show. Given the list of guests you've had, I don't know if I qualify quite in their category, but I'm honored that you chose me.
Absolutely, you do. What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, Mike, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, I was fortunate. I grew up in a small town of 1,000 people. My dad, he was a World War II vet, served in the Navy, came back home, married my mom from a small town, and I was so fortunate. I was the oldest of 5 kids, but I think they taught us, you know, how to work ethic and how to treat people. I delivered newspapers, I mowed yards, I shoveled walks. Even when I was in high school and athletic teams, I worked on Saturdays doing things. And every summer I worked a job to try to, you know, just help out, make some money, you know, so I could have a little spending money and stuff. But, you know, I was fortunate to have great parents and great siblings. And I think, you know, the core values and things they taught me, and, you know, I will be forever grateful.
Coach, you went to Michigan in Ann Arbor. You played football while you earned a degree in education. You played linebacker, tight end, and you also kicked. And then God sent you an angel disguised as a devil in 1969, a new head coach by the name of Bo. Tell us about Bo Schembechler.
Well, he was a great man. And, you know, the year before, we had a good team. We were 8-2. We got thumped by Ohio State down there. And he came in and said, that's going to be our red letter game, and we will beat those guys. And I think the biggest thing, he had great coaching staff, guys that I really enjoyed working, coaching, or playing under and coaching with. And what I kind of took away was he had a tremendous passion for the game, but he cared about his players. In fact, that was one of the things that kind of moved me, pushed me toward coaching more. When he came in, he wanted to get to know everybody. So he would meet with you and visit with you, get to know you. And he asked me what I was going to do. And I said, well, I think I'm going to go coach high school football or basketball, you know. And I really enjoyed what my high school coaches did for me, my football coach and basketball coach. They were my first inspiration for coaching because of the way they treated us and the way, and then we had success too, but I think it was more because of the way they did things. And I'll never forget that. But he said, well, have you ever thought about being a graduate assistant? You know, you're breaking down film, you're doing scouting reports, you're helping us coach, you're coaching the scout team. We got a JV team. You guys are coaching those guys. It's like an internship. And I thought, man, that sounds like fun. So when I did it, I was immediately hooked. It was like, wow, there's a lot more to this game than I realized just playing tight end, you know, because you know what you're supposed to do. But now you got to see the big picture and you got to learn what everybody else is doing. And then, you know, how you get guys to work together. Because down through the years, that's been something that's stuck with me is when you have a championship team, it takes everybody on the team contributing in some way, shape, or form. It isn't just the starters. It isn't just the stars. It's every guy from top to bottom doing what he can to help us win. And there's no greater feeling in my mind. And now that I'm retired, I hope to get back to some reunions as one of those championship teams. And because I have been able to get back to a few from my senior year at Michigan, the 69 team that was Big Ten co-champs. And there were a lot of guys there. And I wasn't a star. I played a lot, but I wasn't a star. But there were other guys there that didn't even play as much as I did. But they still felt the same pride that we all did in being champions.
Speaking of champions, your last college game, January 1st, 1970, you go to the Rose Bowl to play USC, and 40-year-old Bo Shemkuk has a heart attack right before the game. You then went back as a coach for Northwestern. What was it like going to the Rose Bowl?
Well, it was special back then because there were only 12 bowl games, and only the Big Ten champion went to a game. And because we beat Ohio State and we were the co-champs, we got to go. So to go back to California in 1969-70, you know, with Disneyland and all that, and not a lot of us had never been out there. And we, with the weather back here, we had to go out there not quite 2 weeks early, but we were out there for an extended period of time, and we stayed at the old Huntington Sheraton, and just the tradition of the Rose Bowl. And it was just so special back then. And yeah, the night before the game, we stayed in a monastery, and one of the coaches came around and said, "Hey, Coach Schembecker had a heart." The next morning, they said, "Hey, Coach Schembecker had a heart attack. He won't be at the game." Well, at that time, heart attacks, you know, we weren't sure if he'd ever coach again. You know, you don't know all those things, and they didn't give us a lot of details and stuff. And so that was a shock. And I know the coaches did a great job during the game, but I know it affected the players. I mean, even though we wanted to win, it was still that in the back of your mind, you know, is he going to be all right? And those type of things. So I wished, fortunately, he was able to recover from it. But, you know, I, at least in my mind, you know, we were very concerned.
We're talking to Coach Mike Hantrich. When we come back, we're going to ask him what's changed in coaching in the last 51 years and what's the same. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Coach Mike Hankwitz, who just retired after 51 years of being an assistant college football coach. Coach, 1971 versus today, what's the same in coaching college kids and what's changed?
I think they want to win. There's a number of things that have changed. Number one, football has gotten more, it's evolved. You know, the passing game is so much more part of the game today than it was back then. You used to have much more run-oriented, eye formation, different things. And as it slowly evolved to where they went to 11 personnel, one running back, three wide receivers, and then the offense could look and see if the defense spread out, they'd run the ball. If the defense stacked the box, they'd throw the ball. And I think it trickled down to high schools where high school quarterbacks came into college much better prepared to throw the ball. And then you went to the Mike Leach offense, spread offense, throwing the ball. And then that forced the defense to really spread out and then defend more of the field. And then the run and shoot offense where you had the running quarterback that could also run the ball and add another gap to the defense. And then they would look and see again. If you were stacking the box for the run, they felt like they could throw it. And then you had the short, quick passes that were high percentage. But it all trickled down into the high schools where the high school quarterbacks – came into college so much more prepared to play right away. And then they got coached again. And then it was a trickle down from the NFL. But the skill level, the players are maturing a little earlier now, and the skill level of them coming in is much higher. And they're still young men though. They still want to win. They still want to coach. But the one thing I do believe is I think they want you to know that you care about them and that you care about them as a person, not just as a player. So there's a little more involved that way, trying to build good relationships. But that's the thing I've enjoyed the most is feeling like you get to know players and show them that you care about them as people. And I work for a great head coach, Pat Fitzgerald, who cares about his players and tries to develop them as young men. I think we get a certain type of young man here with the academics, and then he wants the type of kids that are a good fit for Northwestern that want a great education but want to win at the highest level too. So it's been fun. I haven't seemed like it, you have to adjust little year by year. So it doesn't seem like there was any one thing that it was a major change, but it's changed every year. That's made it fun too.
You've been blessed to coach with and for a lot of great men from 82 to 84, Coach Jack Harbaugh at Western Michigan. What did you learn from him, Coach?
Jack was a great man, and it was his first head job. We all learned together. We had some great young great coaches on the staff. Greg Madison was on our defensive staff. We didn't have the greatest facilities at the time. Everybody was evolving at that time, but we did the best we could with what we had. I know he continued to learn as a coach. He went down to Western Kentucky, won a national championship, and I think that's the thing we try to instill in our players is, you've got to continue to grow and learn, there's an old quote, you never stay, you either get better or you get worse, you never stay the same. And then we tried to convince players of that, but that held true as coaches too. But he was a great family man. He had, his son John, head coach of the Ravens, Jim, head coach at Michigan. So it was a great family. That was my first coordinator's job, so I was grateful that he gave me that opportunity.
Then in 1985, you go to one of the most beautiful cities in America, the foothills of the Rockies, Boulder, Colorado, and there's this coach, Bill McCartney. Unbelievable. And you're there from 85 to 94. You won a share of the national title in 1990. Tell us about the late, great Bill McCartney.
Well, he's a great man. He cared tremendously about his players, and he tried to teach them life skills, not just winning football games. He felt that if you teach life skills, that would help us win football games, because you teach guys to work together. You teach them, to have each other's back. You try to teach them the right things to do and how to do the right thing and doing it the right way. I remember, they're recruiting, you had rules and stuff, and somebody would say, well, so-and-so is doing it this. And he goes, but that's not the spirit of the rule, And so kind of went beyond. But he deeply cared about his players. I learned so much from him. I actually was the coordinator at Western, and he called and wanted to know if I would interview for an assistant's job. I knew he'd been an outstanding high school coach at Divine Child, won a state basketball championship, football championship, was the coordinator at Michigan. And then this was his first head job. I thought, well, this is an opportunity I might not be able to pass up. So I go interview. Well, his first 3 years, I think he was 2-9, 3-8, 1-10. And I got buddies saying, you sure you want to go out there? But I was so impressed with him and felt like the program was ready to take off. And that first year we went 7-4 and just kept getting better.
Let's go back to September 24th, 1994. You come back to the big house. You got this quarterback, Cordell Stewart. Tell us about what happened at the end of that game.
Well, they were trying to run the clock out, and we were able to get a third down stop and force them to punt. And we complete. I think it went in the end zone. We got the ball about 20, but Cordell completed a pass for 17 yards or so, gave us enough room where he could drop back, and with his arm, he could throw it 65 yards in the air. And we had a guy go up, Blake Anderson, and tip it. And the Michael Westbrook's behind him and catching it. And so that Hail Mary will be one that'll live in memory for a long time in our mind, because you know, it was a great comeback and just executed the way you wanted at the end. So that's certainly a fond memory.
You coached for 9 different colleges: Michigan, Arizona, Purdue, Western Michigan, Colorado, Kansas, Texas A&M, the Aggies, Wisconsin, Northwestern. So you heard this several times. Mike, we're moving in a different direction, i.e., we don't need you anymore. And the real hero of the Hankwitz household, Kathy, then got to pack up everything, okay? You know, you just go off. What's it like to go from one city to another, all new kids, all new coaching staff for you?
Well, the coach, that's the thing my wife made sure I was aware of. She goes, you know, you move and you make friends because you got people on the staff. And then I'm left to pack up the house, you know, get the house ready to sell and do this and do that. And then I got to get the movers ready. And I was only able to help do that one time. And then I realized how much she had to go through. But yeah, she's been a saint. And for a coach, it wasn't hard because the other coaches embraced you. You got to, you know, you spent time getting to know the players. So we were busy as a coach, so the transition wasn't as hard for us. I felt bad for my son because, you know, he starts born in Colorado. He's in Kansas for 2 years. He's young. And then we moved to Texas A&M, and he's in elementary school. And then by the time we get to Colorado, he's in fifth, sixth grade. We moved to Wisconsin. He's in junior high, seventh, eighth. And then we got to move again. So when we came down here, I felt like it was stable enough. I said, look, you're going to be able to finish high school here. Don't worry about it. But that's the one I felt. Not that I didn't feel bad for my wife, because she certainly is a trooper. And but that's who I felt bad for first. But yeah, that's the unfortunate part of coaching sometimes. There's the old saying, there's two type of coaches, those that have been fired and those that will be. And you know that's part of the game. And fortunately, I've been able to land on my feet and being with good people. And that's you know, I look back now and I've enjoyed living in different parts of the country. So, you know, I can look at it as a fun experience.
We're talking to Coach Mike Hankwitz, who was a linebacker and also a kicker at Michigan. And when he convinced Kathy to marry him, the man truly outkicked his punt coverage on that one. He's known as the Doctor of Fundamentals. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about his time with the Aggies. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Coach Mike Hankwitz. Over 50 as a coordinator of college football, he won 400 games and 11 conference championships. There's no more prideful people in America than the Aggies. Texas A&M, from 97 to 2002, you were the defensive coordinator. Talk to us about the Aggies.
Well, it was a great experience. The school spirit there is just second to none. You know, the sellout crowd and all the students would be standing, and the noise they would make when the opponent were out there was an advantage to us. But they took tremendous pride in it. And as I was there, I got to learn a little more about the history. At one time, it was male only, and then after World War II, you know, other than professors' daughters and stuff. Well, then they convinced them that to grow, they needed to go co-ed, and it was a little unpopular at first, but they just continued to grow, and they take tremendous pride in it. And, you know, obviously Texas, the state university, kind of looked down their noses at the Aggies, or that's how they felt, but great people. And we just had a ball there, and we loved the spirit. It was second to none. And, you know, that I think my son really enjoyed it too. And so that was one of the fond memories of, you know, of coaching at a great experience like that.
Then you go to Madison, Wisconsin, as cold a place as there is, with the Badgers. Talk about your time at the University of Wisconsin.
Well, they were great young men to coach. In the first year, we went 12-1. You know, we had won the Capital One Bowl against Arkansas. That was a school record for victories at the time, and came up one game short in the Big Ten. But there were good people there. I mean, we had some great friends there. My son had some good friends there. And Madison's a great town. It's a great college town. And, you know, the next year we went 9-3 and lost our bowl game in a tough one. And so we were enjoying it there. So, yeah, it was tough when they decided to go in a different direction. You know, sometimes you don't understand all these things as a coach. But, you know, Paul Chris, the head coach now, was the offensive coordinator and a great friend. And some of the other guys on this that were on the staff when I was there, Bob Bosett, are still there, and I consider them great friends. And you know, it was frustrating, but you understand as a coach, sometimes those things happen. But I was fortunate enough to get a call from Pat Fitzgerald, an interview with him, and you know, it was one of the best things ever happened to us.
It was a match made in heaven. That was 2008. So for 13 years, you and Coach Pat Fitzgerald. Very high academic standards at Northwestern University. Talk about being a student athlete at Northwestern today.
Well, the
this is your day in the late 60s, huh?
They obviously have to meet certain requirements to get in. And so once they get in, we feel like they will succeed. And, you know, again, Coach Fitzgerald does a great job recruiting, getting to know the young man and see if they're a great fit for the university, because academics are going to be demanding, but they know that if they do the work, and we have a great academic support people that kind of teach them how to structure their time, and, you know, because it's a little different college, but it's great people there. They want to, you know, our president, Dr. Morton Shapiro, he was at Williams College, and small private school, and they were able to be successful in athletics too. And he felt like there's no reason Northwestern can't be too if we support the programs. And then we got a great athletic director in Jim Phillips, and they started doing things and helping each program and building new facilities. And but the young men, I think we get young men that value a great education. They're, you know, we really believe this too. You don't go to college for just 4 years of your life. You go for 40 years, because that degree is going to do more for you than just, you know, what your football career does. Now, I truly believe football can help you become a successful businessman and a better husband and father and things like that too. But, and so the young men we get want to get that degree, but they also want to win. And, you know, we've been able to, we've raised the bar a little in the program, you know, and that's the thing. Fitz came here at a time when Northwestern had not had much success at all for a period of time. And they changed the whole dynamics of the program and won the Big Ten. And
Coach.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
You never would get a 5-star kid to go to Northwestern. You'd never get a 4-star kid. You'd get 3- and 2-star kids. In 2020, Northwestern ranked 5th nationally in out, 11th in yards per play, led the nation in red zone touchdown percentage allowed. The defense propelled you to the Big Ten West Division 2 of the last 3 years. You finished 10th in the final polls. How did you and Coach Fitzgerald and the rest of the coaches achieve that?
Well, we have, number one, this year, we had great young men that made a tremendous sacrifice with COVID and a great commitment, a great work ethic, because it was a frustrating time. You know, we shut down in March, everything's remote, so they're working out on their own at home all the way until July. And then we come back and start practice, intending to start the season, and then start practice, and then get shut down in August. And then Big Ten says, we're not playing. So the frustration, again, they go home and they spread out. And then, oh, we can play, start in October. They come back. But they had to they had to do a great job of social distancing and not doing things socially that they normally do. And they did a tremendous job with that. And so it was so gratifying. But, you know, in football, like, I'm the coordinator, but we didn't win just because of me. We had great assistant coaches, Matt McPherson, Tim McGargle, Marty Long. And then, you know, you got GAs and you got some student assistants. And, you know, we felt like it was the collective effort of all of us, because I didn't have every idea about what we should do. But when we work together, we feel like we could come up with some great plans and put the players in a position. And I'll never forget this bunch, the way they competed and the effort they gave and the sacrifice they did with this COVID. It just made it a special year.
We're talking to Coach Mike Hankwitz. When we come back, we're going to ask him about his last game, January 1st, 2021, the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. Don't leave us. Great story. He's got 399 victories as of that morning. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Anything is possible. 15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a world-class professor, a teacher of young men for the last 51 years. Coach, let's take us back to Orlando, Florida, January 1st, 2021, the Citrus Bowl. You got 399 victories. Northwestern is going up against the SEC Auburn with the Bo Nix, that big quarterback. Talk about that last game of your career.
It became an emotional week when I start thinking about certain things. But I felt like we had a great plan going in, and our players had worked very hard in our preparation. We had a player opt out who was going to be a high draft pick, and we fully supported that. We understand the situation, and then we had some other injuries, but I love the way our players were preparing, and I felt like we had a great plan going in. And I felt from our players, I felt somehow, some way, we were going to find a way to win. I just sensed that, and when we did, it was like the greatest feeling, you know, ever. And I told them, I said, you gave an old coach the greatest gift you could give, you know, your sacrifice, your commitment, your dedication, and your effort. And to win this game, you know, I mean, that was one of the greatest gifts I could ever gotten.
The score was 35-19. Northwestern beat Auburn. They doused you with the Gatorade bath. I think it was the first one you ever had. And here's a quote from head coach Pat Fitzgerald. Mike's the GOAT. Like the guys call him. He's the best. He's the best person. He's so humble. He's an amazing teacher. They put you on their shoulders. You cried. You were interviewed on national TV. Coach, when you put your head on the pillow that night, what did you think?
Well, I was grateful for Coach Fitzgerald giving me the opportunity to come down here and give me the support. And I was so grateful for this great group of young men, this group we had this year, and their sacrifice and commitment and dedication in the COVID restrictions and everything to doing what we had to do to win and making it a great season. And, you know, that I was just so grateful for all those people that that worked together to achieve this. And I still think about this group of young men and a group of coaches, and it'll be with me forever.
There's over 1,000 assistant college football coaches, and every year one wins the Broyles Award. In 2020, they named 56 of them as finalists for the Broyles Award, and then they got it down to 5. And you were one of the 5 finalists. What was that like?
Well, I was honored, but like I told our defensive staff, I hope you guys believe me when I say this. This should be a staff award, because I did not do this alone. And it wasn't just because of me. It was because of what we did together. And I hope they believe that, because I believed it from the bottom of my heart. And yeah, it was an honor, because, but the season and winning the Big West and coming, you know, we almost got Ohio State, but hopefully we raised the bar so the next time they get there, they can and win the bowl game. That was the biggest reward I could have gotten.
And that was your 400th win, the last game. You also won 11 conference championships while doing that. You transformed the lives of hundreds of young men these past 51 years. Not just teaching them how to be better football players, but being men. Conversely, Coach, what's the biggest thing your players taught you these past 51 years?
Well, the rewarding part was seeing them come in and grow up and mature into young men, you know, because some, you know, they're young men coming right out of high school. And but seeing them 10, 15, 20 years later, you know, and seeing them being successful and introducing them to their families, you know, and the pride they have in their families. And I did get a lot of great messages from former players. And I told some of them, you know, your kind message was worth more than 1,000 wins, because it all goes back to my high school coaches and the impact they had on me, because, you know, small town America, we had some success in basketball, but we hadn't won a football championship since 1932. And here it is, 1962, and I'm a freshman. And we got a new coach. But I loved the way he coached us. And, you know, every morning we'd go into his classroom and sit around and just talk, you know. And my basketball coach was the driver's ed teacher, you know. And those, Dwayne Ingram, the basketball coach, and Lauren Dietrich, the football coach, those were my real inspiration for getting the coaching, because the way they coached us and taught us and cared about us, and, you know, went beyond just basketball and football. And I really credit them for being my inspiration for wanting to coach, because of the way they treated us. And I remember this, you know, more than 50 years later, because we won 3 straight football championships and basketball. We won the conference our senior year. My junior year, we got to the regional finals. My senior year, we got beat in the state semifinals, you know. But they were the men that, you know, of course, my parents, number one, but the impact they had on me always stuck with me. And I was just, you know, one of the reasons I got into coaching, and I was always hoping that I could have some impact on young men like they had on me.
We're talking to Coach Mike Hankwitz, who's known as the Doctor of Fundamentals. Coach, the only constant in life is change. You, every season was change. That was the constant you had. You always had to get comfortable being uncomfortable. For a lot of people, change is so hard. Talk to us about embracing, relishing change.
Well, it's a challenge. And, you know, you have to evolve. You have to change. And I think that's what made it fun also, because things just didn't stay the same. You had to always keep growing and learning. And, you know, that was the fun part, not just with your relationship with players, how you coach them, how you teach them, but the schematics, you know, what offenses are doing now. And but that made it interesting because, you know, you didn't get bored. You didn't have time to get bored because everything was always changing and evolving. And I was fortunate, I think, like when I was a graduate assistant working at Michigan with Jim Young and Frank Maloney, a great high school coach from Chicago that came over, and George Manns, and you know, those things were starting to evolve then. But and then when I went to work with Jim Young, I was impressed with the way he adapted and evolved. He was not Coach Schembechler, and he knew it. He motivated in a different way, but he motivated, did a great job motivating. But he went to Arizona, and instead of running the Michigan offense, he put in the Houston Veer because he had seen what it could do, and he knew our personnel would be a great fit for him. And then we had a lot of success there. And then we went back to Purdue, and we recruited a great quarterback named Mark Herman. So he changed the offense and developed a more pro-style passing offense with a run game that complemented it. And then after he retired for a year, after I went up to Western Michigan, he goes to Army and realizes that they have, you know, you're getting certain type of young men there. You're not getting all the young men that are playing at Michigan and Ohio State and stuff. He went to the wishbone. So I always marveled at the way he adjusted and adapted. And I always remember that and tried to keep that in mind as we went along and look for new ways to do things. And, you know, but I think that helped my outlook on things, trying to see the big picture, see what other people are doing and how can we incorporate some of those things.
Coach Hankwitz, America's greatest natural resource is its young people. It's not oil, it's not gas, it's America's young people. And for 51 years, you molded them, you loved them, you transformed them. Thank you from all of America for all you've done these past 51 years. Been an honor to have you.
Well, thank you. It was an honor to be on your show.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.